Please turn with me to the book of Jude this morning. It's just 25 verses, so be careful not to flip right past it. The book of Revelation is the last book in the Bible. Jude is right before Revelation. And what a blessing this book is. I know I've certainly grown in my study of it on Sunday night, and I hope it's been my prayer that you have as well. Now, the title that we've given to this series is The Actions of the Apostates. And this morning actually brings us to sermon number 33 in our study of the book of Jude. Now, my friends, you'd never know it by today's soft style of Christianity. But there is a battle for the Bible. There is a fight for the faith. And it is a no-holds-barred fight to the finish. And friend, it is one that you cannot afford to be neutral about. You know, sometimes church people say, now, pastor, just preach the gospel. Now, pastor, just stick to salvation and don't worry about all this other stuff. Now, that's a mistake. And Jude almost made it. Do you remember what he said there in verse number 3? Look at it. Jude said, I was going to write to you about the common salvation. That is, I was going to tell you all about the virgin birth. I was going to write to you about the blood atonement, our hope in heaven. Jude said, I was going to comfort you with the eternal security of the believer. Write the sweet strain of the words of salvation by grace through faith. Jude said, that's what I was going to do. But the Holy Spirit of God wouldn't let him. The result? The book of Jude. And so the book of Jude is God's alarm clock. It is a big red lantern swinging right in front of our face, warning us of the apostasy of our day. Church, we must not be uninformed. So God provided the book of Jude, specially and specifically for the church of the last days. And so we've taken this book seriously, and we've labored extensively to hear its message to us. Because my brother and sister, if we're going to protect Central Baptist Church, then we must agonize. As Jude said in verse number 3, we must contend in doing so. Because if you're looking for a cheap, easy, or lazy way out of it, you'll not find it. Matter of fact, the spiritual graveyards are full. They are full of Christian schools. They are full of churches. They are full of denominations. And yes, they are full of souls who try to do exactly that, find a cheap, easy, and lazy way out of it. Again, the title of this series, The Actions of the Apostates. If you found your place there in Jude, we're going to look at verses 12 and 13 this morning. Won't you go ahead and stand with me? And let's read these two verses of Scripture together. All together, these are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And all the church said, thank you, and you may be seated. Now, in this book, Jude tells us that followers of Jesus Christ, that we must contend for the gospel, so that its lantern of truth is not extinguished from this dark and evil world. In this book, we're taught about the actions of the apostates so that this church and our members can avoid the wildfires of apostasy that are burning all around us in these last days. Now, we're currently in our study. We're currently on our fifth main point, and it's what we're calling the sentence of the Lord decreed. And that's found in verses 12 through 19. Now, we have three sub-points here. Our focus this morning is going to be on that first one, found in verses 12 and 13. The sentence of the Lord decreed in five pictures. Now, the first picture we find painted on the canvas in verse number 12 describes to us how the apostate is deceptive. Look at verse number 12. Jesus said, "These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear." Now that word spots means hidden rocks. And God's people are often deceived because just like a hidden rock, just beneath the water's surface, the danger of an apostate is an unseen one, as they are seeking to sink the old ship of Zion. So the first picture we find painted on the canvas describes how the apostate is deceptive. The second picture we find painted on the canvas describes how the apostate is disappointing. Look at verse 12 again. The Bible says that they are clouds without water, carried about of winds. Now the apostate is controlled by the winds of evil spirits. And the idea is that spiritual wickedness in high places takes the apostate from assembly to assembly. It says, clouds they are without water. Though his outward appearance is a hopeful promise of refreshment, my friends, the apostate simply cannot bring the rain from God's holy word. He's just a pompous windbag. And so, the sinner who would drink and live dies. The saint who would be refreshed to serve his Savior remains on the sidelines, sitting in their seat in the sanctuary. Yes, they may have their youth groups, and they may have their activities, but they don't have any water of the Spirit. They lack the refreshment of the gospel. The apostate is deceptive. Number two, the apostate is disappointing. The third picture we find painted on the canvas in verse number 12 tells us that the apostate is dead. Look at the end of verse 12, and this is where we'll park this morning. The Bible says that the apostate are trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. A barren profession, dead. The apostate has nothing to give. We've already seen that he cannot produce the refreshment of water. Now, Brother Doug, we also find out that the apostate cannot produce the sustenance of fruit. There are three things I want you to notice this morning about the apostate being dead. Number one, the first thing I want us to see is that they are cuteless. Look at verse 12. It says they are trees whose fruit withereth. You see that? Friend, there is nothing cute about fruit in a withering state. It has wrinkles. It gets soft. It has dark spots. It's just not an appetizing picture. And my friends, there are plenty of people in religious circles who fit this portrait perfectly. Their fruit is withering. Not everyone who is religious is trustworthy. Did you know that? Listen to me, friends. Beware, beware, beware. There are spiritual criminals. There are spiritual felons. God gives us a portrait of them right here in the book of Jude, and they are called apostates. And you'd be very wise. You'd be a very wise man. You'd be a very wise woman if you use these pictures that Jude is painting here in his book in discerning who you're going to hang around. Use them to discern who you're going to be befriending, who to consider for marriage, who to consider joining the church, who to consider having a close fellowship with. The apostate. Who is he? Well, the apostate is someone that has turned from the truth of God. When it comes to the truth, of Jesus Christ, the apostate receives it fine. Then time goes on, and he rejects it forcefully. Then he ridicules it foolishly. And then he finally replaces it with something else in his life. Look out for that pattern in folks. It is the path of the apostate. Every single apostate we find in Scripture follows that exact path. Now, don't sit there this morning thinking this doesn't have anything to do with you. Because, my friend, the devil's chief weapon against Central Baptist Church is not going to be persecution from without. It's going to be infiltration from within with apostasy. I need to be on the lookout for that. I need you and you and you to be on the lookout for that. I need you to be a watchman, to join and be in that watchman on the wall. We're seeing how the apostate, that they are cuteless. The Bible says they are trees whose fruit withereth. Now, this can describe the tree at the close of autumn. And those trees are dry. They are leafless. They have no fruit. And it has the idea of waning and wasting away. And as it relates to prophecy, this describes perfectly the condition of the church of Jesus Christ in the last days. They are trees whose fruit withereth. Because when compared to the biblical model, the church today really is not cute at all. It's wrinkly. It's soft. It has dark spots. And sometimes I wonder if the Lord Jesus Christ was thinking not just about the Pharisees, but also about Christians today in His churches when He said this in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 3. He said, "Ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times?" My friend, apostasy is all around us. And we've got to wake up and realize that we are in the autumn age of the church. The church is waning. Spring and summer are past, and the judgment of winter is now upon us. And I believe with all of my heart that God is getting ready to thrust His sickle into this earth and harvest His children at the rapture of the church. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 30, the Lord Jesus said this. He said, "Let both grow together." That is the wheat and the tare. "Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say unto the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to be burned. But the wheat gather into my barn." Church, I want to tell you that day is coming and there is nothing, no, absolutely nothing that's going to stop that train that's on the tracks. The question that needs to be asked is when that day comes, when that day arrives, where are you going to be gathered? Now, I'm headed to the Lord's barn, and I pray that I see you there. I want to see you there up there in the Lord's barn with me, because make no mistake, you're either going to be gathered together in a bundle with the tares to be burned, or you're going to be gathered together with God's wheat and taken to the Lord's barn. And I pray that you make the choice to come to the Lord's barn by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, this morning we're seeing that the apostate is dead. The first thing we noted is they are cuteless. The second thing I want you to note is that they are rootless. Look at the verse again. It says, "Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots." The apostate is dead. Dead because they are children of Adam's ruined race. And like all men, they are born dead. Born dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1 tells us. And they stay that way, and they become twice dead. How? By rejecting eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Now, what does that mean? Well, we know they are trees. We've established that. but there is no fruit on them. There is no life. And so the apostate church may have a dry and a dull service. It may be a service that's set on fire with satanic zeal. Now, my friend, Satan loves religion, so don't get fooled by the show. Boy, it sure may seem like the place to be. But there'll be no glory there. You watch and you'll find there'll be no book there. There'll be no blood there. There'll be no salvation there. There'll be no Holy Ghost there. There'll be no revival there. Yes, there'll be a lot of emotion, but you'll find no victory in your personal life. You'll find no new birth. You'll find no power there. You see, there's one thing you can't do with a dead tree, and that's to get fruit from it. One lady said this. She said, "Pastor, I'm letting you know I'm going to be moving my membership from your church to another church." And the pastor said, "Well, go ahead. It certainly won't hurt to change the labels on an empty bottle." My friend, that's what we have today. Spiritually empty churches. Spiritually empty church goers. And they are dead trees. You can't get fruit from it, but there are a lot of things that you can do with a dead tree. For instance, Brother Jim, you can transplant a dead tree. You can take that dead tree and you can move it from one plat of land to another plat of land. That is, you can move it from one church to another church. And yes, much of the church hopping that goes on in our day is nothing more than the transplanting of dead trees. So move it, transplant it, but it still will not produce the fruit of spiritual life. You can transplant a dead tree. You can prune a dead tree. Prune it all you want. It will not change that tree's primary problem, and that is, it has no life. The pruning of a dead tree is reformation. And so you can drop some bad habits in your life. You can drop those bad associations right out of your life, but it will not change the problem down at the root on the inside. It is still D-E-A-D, dead. You can transplant a dead tree. You can prune a dead tree. You can even cultivate a dead tree. Put fertilizer on it. Give it some water. Set it there in the sunroom, but it will not change that tree's deadness. And so, you can send someone to a worship service. You can send them to Bible studies and every religious activity and youth group under the sun, but you can't give life to that dead tree. Gimmicks do not work. You can transplant a dead tree. You can prune it. You can cultivate it. You can rename that dead tree. Call it something else if you want to. Call it a tree in decline. Say it's a tree that's seen its better days, but that tree is still dead. Call that empty profession what you will. Call it backslidden. Call it aloof. Call it cold. Call it carnal. Call it worldly. You can rename it. Call it whatever you want. But that dead tree is still dead. Yes, Brother Danny, there's a lot of things that you can do with a dead tree. But one thing you can never, ever do with a dead tree is to cause that dead tree to give forth life. Jesus said the best thing to do with a dead tree is to pluck it up and burn it. And that's exactly what God is going to do to every religious phony. You can fool everybody else in this church. You can fool me standing behind this pulpit. You can even fool your mom and dad. But my friend, you will not ever fool God. Jesus said this in John chapter 15 and verse number 5. Jesus said, "I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him," watch this, "the same bringeth forth much fruit." That is, if you're plugged into the tree of life, if you're plugged into Jesus Christ, then the branches of your life will bear spiritual fruit. Now, don't you go get mad at me. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Jesus said, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withereth, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." Healthy trees are harvested. Dead trees are plucked up and burned. Okay, let's just get right to it. Let me ask you straight up. Are you saved? Are you born again this morning? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, there are two births and there are two deaths. Jews said they are twice dead. If you are not born twice, hear me, you will die twice. If you're only born once, you will have two deaths. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 13, God knows who are His. And Jesus said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. You see, the apostate, not only is he dead, but he has a bigger problem. He's also damned. You don't think God knows which plants he's planted and which ones he's not planted? The message of Jesus Christ is simply this. Men who do not accept the words of his teaching, those men are going to be rooted up someday and they're going to be cast into the fire. My friend, have you received the teaching and the words of this book? Have you made this book's teaching, this book's doctrine, your own? I tell you the truth, your eternal future depends on what you've done with the truth of this book. And so Jude, and all throughout the Bible, Jude uses earthly language to help our understanding. So listen to me. You've made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Since that time, has your life ever borne any spiritual fruit? If not, I don't mean to sound rude and crude, but you are no use to God and you just might get burned. Jews said they are twice dead. Now we all have our natural birth. But my friend, the good news is, if we are born again, if we are born twice, our natural birth and a spiritual birth, then we only have to die once. If you've been born again, you never have to worry about being twice dead. Yes, you may die physically, but you have eternally life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, those who are saved, we not only have roots, but we have deep roots. God will not allow His children to be uprooted. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 16 and verse number 8. He said, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. The roots go down deep. The storm does not topple them. As it says there in Psalm chapter number 1, we are planted by the rivers of water. Now, yes, a tree can be cut down. But have you ever tried to move a live tree? Those roots keep it sturdy. Those roots keep it steady. And that's just the way it is in the life of God's people. Yes, a storm may come along from time to time and cut us down for a spell, but we are not moved. Roots, deep roots, reveal a relationship, a rock-solid foundation that produces change, that bears fruit. Jude said, they are trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. The apostate is dead. We're noting three things about them this morning. Number one, they are cuteless. Number two, they are rootless. And number three, I want you to see that they are fruitless. Notice further, these trees are not only dead, but they are also fruitless. Jude says they are without fruit. An apostate has no fruit. Do you know why? The apostate cannot bear fruit because he has no root. Now, what kind of fruit are we talking about here? Eloquence, appearance, oratory ability, likability, degrees. The apostate has plenty of that. But the apostate cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit, nor can he bear it. Now, what are the fruits of the Spirit? The fruits of the Spirit are found in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance." My friend, those are the fruits of the Spirit. Does your life bear these fruits? What about that person that's interested in joining the church, that prospective member? Do their life bear these fruits? What about that man or woman that you're interested in? Have you checked to see if their life is bearing spiritual fruit? What about that church down the road that is alluring you? Have you looked to see if it is bearing spiritual fruit? Now, friend, these are not my fruits. God wrote this. Do you have them? Are you concerned? Unsure about your loved ones? Well, does their life bear these spiritual fruits? Is their tree of life in blossom and producing spiritual fruit? Only a tree with life can. A dead tree simply cannot. God says His children will have fruit on their tree of life. Psalm chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says, "And he, the blessed man, the man that is happy and joyful, the man that has made the Lord his salvation, the man that is submitted to the Word of God and to the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed man, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water," watch this, "that bringeth forth his fruit in his season." Has your season come? Has it ever come? Do you have fruit? Spiritual fruit. God says it will be present. In closing here, we're seeing how the apostate is fruitless. Now, the Bible teaches that the seed of the gospel goes out when it is preached or when it is shared by Christians in witnessing. We did that yesterday. We canvassed the neighborhood and we hit 45 houses. We gave out the seed of the gospel. And the Lord Jesus taught us in the parable of the soils that some of those seeds are going to find hard soil. Some are going to fall on shallow soil. Others will fall on crowded soil. And those seeds will not produce any fruit at all. But Jesus also told us that some of those seeds are going to fall on good ground and they will produce the fruit of life. And that fruit that falls on good ground, like all fruit, has in it the seed for more fruit. True fruit continues to grow. True fruit continues to reproduce itself in the life of those around. Are your spiritual fruits impacting those around you? My friend, these are signs of growth. These are signs of life. The apostate cannot grow because apostasy is a parasite. It can only pluck and devour fruit that is produced by Bible believers. And that's why the apostates move into our churches. But they have no power in themselves. They are dead trees. They cannot produce, they only devour. They don't add to, they only take away from. They don't strengthen the body of Christ, they drain the body of Christ. Listen to me. The apostate is dead to the fruit of a profession. And he is equally dead to the root of a possession. But God's people are completely the opposite. Listen to what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah said in chapter 17, verses 7 and 8, he said, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and that made the Lord his hope." My friend, do you trust in the Lord? Is your hope in Jesus Christ this morning? Then God said, you are blessed. Blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Wow. What a verse. Does that describe your life? My friend, these are life and death questions. These are eternal questions. Heaven and hell questions. And it behooves everyone sitting in those seats this morning to find the answer out to those questions for yourself. What happens when the heat is on? When a drought comes into your life? When the heat comes, when the drought comes, does your spiritual life fold up like a long chair, wither up and die? Or do you continue on for Christ? When the heat comes, when the year of the drought comes, does your leaf stay green, as Jeremiah says, neither shall cease from yielding fruit? What's it like for you? You say, Pastor, how can I be sure that I am not an apostate? The answer is by sincerely trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior from your sin. Listen, an apostate is not someone who has been saved and then lost their salvation. That's what many people think. That's not what an apostate is. An apostate is somebody that is religious but lost. See, the apostate knows exactly what the truth is. And with their eyes wide open to the truth of Jesus Christ, and with a full knowledge of exactly what they are doing, they say no to that truth. And they cross God's deadline. That's what it's talking about there in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 25 and 27. God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. My friend, when the Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart, now is the time to act. Don't play Russian roulette with your soul. God said, unless my spirit draw, no man can come unto me. Don't tell God no. You may cross God's deadline. You may miss God's final call. Are you saved? I'm not asking if you're a Baptist. I'm asking, are you saved? I didn't ask if you're a member of Central Baptist Church. I'm asking this morning, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ? If you don't, one of these days, you may find yourself dangerous. Like a sunken rock, a hidden rock, shipwrecking others around you. One of these days, you may find yourself deceptive, like a waterless cloud, unable to produce and misleading those around you. One of these days, you may find yourself twice dead, like a fruitless tree with no life, withered and drying up, disturbed, like a raging wave of the sea, wreaking havoc, like a wandering star, forever lost and doomed. Would you look at me? I want you to be saved. I want you to be saved. God wants you to be saved. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Know Jesus, the bright and morning star, And you will never fulfill any of these word pictures that Jude lays out in verses 12 and 13. My friends, eternity is long. So choose wisely. Won't you come ask the Lord to save you? We're getting ready to start our invitation. Sister Tasha, you can come up. If you're not saved and God's been dealing with your heart and you want to be saved, won't you come ask the Lord to save you right now? We'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved today here at Central Baptist Church. Won't you ask the Lord to come save you? Won't you come? If you're not saved, won't you come right now? Listen, church, if you are saved, listen to me. God says we must contend for the faith. That is, we got to protect this house. We got to protect this church. We got to protect our own heart. We got to protect our family spiritually. Not only do we have to protect, we got to pray. We got to pray for this church. We got to pray for each other. You got to pray for your family. And my friend, we need to persevere in service in this church. Persevere for your family. And I implore you by the authority of God this morning. If you're saved, get out there on the perch and start watching and quit sitting on the pew wasting and withering away. Unearth your buried talent and put it to use in service for the Lord. That's the message today. Trees whose fruit withereth, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. If you're not saved, you need to come get saved today. Jesus the Savior, whosoever will shall come, shall be saved. If you're a Christian today, my friend, it's time to get up and get in the fight. There's a battle for the Bible and there's a fight for the faith. Get engaged, get in the Lord's army today, and let's start serving and protecting this church and growing this ministry here in Crawfordville. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father.